Today on Real Radio.
Now, people, listen carefully. We're going to step on some toes, but we're going to do it in love. Never in your Bible, ever in your Bible, can there ever be, is there ever a record given of a message in tongues? Did you hear that? We've all heard it. Oh man, the guy just spoke and he gave a message in tongues. You'll never find that in the Bible. Every time tongues is done publicly, it is always given to the praise, honor, and the glory of God, speaking of God's wonderful works, or giving God thanks, praise, and honor. Never a message, a teaching. That's just what the Bible reveals.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This series is taken from Ephesians 4 and verses 7 through 16. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Are you aware that there are incredible rules concerning the use of the gift of tongues that many of you may not be aware of tonight? It's very interesting. But he will manifest himself always in an orderly way. And he'll do it in a service that is provided for him that he's been invited to even work in that manner. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never experienced that time, now there may be a time when you come in and sit before the Lord with other believers and someone doesn't speak in a tongue. They don't have that, nobody in the meeting has that gift. But you know what? Someone will say, you know what? I've never done this before, but every time I close my eyes and I ask the Lord to speak to the body, I keep seeing someone here and their arm. Something's wrong with their arm, and God is saying he's going to heal your arm. And I don't know who you are, but if I'm kind of scared even saying that. I think I'm moving in the Spirit. It always takes faith to even say it. But, you know, if that's for somebody here, praise the Lord. I've told you before, I remember sitting at Calvary Costa Mesa in that small group of 700. And I stuttered so bad I could hardly speak. And I'm in my mind, I'm just saying, Lord, if you'll just heal my tongue, I'll give you my mouth. Just heal my tongue. I want to talk for you. And somebody to this very day, I don't know who it is in the back, says, yeah, there's a guy here praying, asking God to heal his tongue. He can't talk. And God's got a message for you. And I'm thinking. Now, I hadn't been a believer very long. Man, this is awesome. This is awesome. What in the world is this guy going to say? And Lisa's right next to me, and I'm just... And the guy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Bible, and God's going to heal you in time as you study the word of God. Well, about a year later, we're at the Saturday Night Men's Prayer Meeting with Bill Askew and Phil Anderson And Phil Anderson comes up and walks on over. That's Jeannie McClure's dad. Don's father-in-law comes on over and he lays his hands on my head. And I'm thinking, and this guy's an old man. And I'm thinking, the old man has snapped. And listen, this is in like 1981. And he says, listen, you study same verse. He says the same verse. And he says, God is going to use you. And people will read about the ministry that God is going to do through you. You study to show yourself approved unto God. You're going to teach people the Word of God. And God is going to use you, and it's going to go. It's going to affect people in other parts of the world. That was in 1981. And I still thought, the old man, he snapped. And the things that have been happening. And I know, like Paul, when Paul the Apostle said, "For that which I've been apprehended for, I have not yet apprehended." I know that my life, I mean, God could take me any moment, but if he allows me to stay, I know that I have not yet completed the task that God has put for my life to complete. But it all began with that word in that room that night, and God began to heal my tongue. Listen, the purpose for the gift of tongues. Second point, the purpose of the gift of tongues. To confuse everyone and divide all churches. No. It was given, listen, it was given primarily to privately praise God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17. Paul says there in the context concerning public and private use of the gift of tongues, he says, "For indeed you give thanks well." The context is private, and it can be public. We'll talk about it in a moment. But it is, and it can be used, I think predominantly used, privately. But that's not all. The second thing we need to realize under the purpose of the gift of tongues is it's used to communicate to people publicly God's glory and wonderful works. Now, people, listen carefully. We're going to step on some toes, but we're going to do it in love. Never in your Bible, ever in your Bible, can there ever be, is there ever a record given of a message in tongues? Did you hear that? We've all heard it. Oh man, the guy just spoke and he gave a message in tongues. You'll never find that in the Bible. Every time tongues is done publicly, it is always given to the praise, honor, and the glory of God, speaking of God's wonderful works, or giving God thanks, praise, and honor. Never a message, a teaching. That's just what the Bible reveals. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. The people who were there said, "We hear them," that's the disciples, "speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." That was glossolalia in known languages, by the way. And they were Galileans. That's why they thought they were drunk. They said, "These guys are absolutely schnockered. They're Galileans. They can hardly even talk Galilean. They can hardly talk." You know, Galileans like Peter, they were like country bumpkins. They were like the geeks. They were like, "You're low life." And these guys were not, listen, when it says that they said, when they said, "We hear them speaking the wonderful works of God," dialects, they were speaking languages with perfect diction. The syntax was perfect. The diction was perfect. There, when Peter or whoever it was speaking the language of the Cappadocians, it was perfect. And it blew the Cappadocians away. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. I don't mean to be yelling. I'm just real excited about this topic. By the way, I have never seen the gift of tongues abused. I've never seen it. I've only seen it used properly. I guess I should praise the Lord for that. I know many of you have other stories, and I feel bad for you. It says in verse 1, "When on the day of Pentecost," when it had fully come, 50 days, by the way, that's what Pentecost means, 50 days. "When the 50 days had come, they were all with one accord in one place," 120 of them, by the way, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." It was not a rushing mighty wind. It says it was like one. It means it was something else. "And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues," this is tongues of the earth, "as the Holy Spirit," capital S, "gave them articulation," or utterance. "Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Why? It was Pentecost. They were coming from all over the world. They do it today. From all over the world. "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused," or blown away, "because everyone heard them speaking in their own language." Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it," that's the great question, "how in the world is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born, our native tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, there's always others in the group, mocking, saying, "These guys are blitzed." But Peter, standing up with the 11, said, or raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you and heed my words." That's Peter. What a guy now. He's doing it. It's great. Heed my words. He's preaching it. You're just like, Peter, wow. He's keeping his feet on the ground. They're not going in his mouth. He's just going for it. He says, and he quotes the prophet Joel, verse 16, and down to verse, 21 or so. He quotes Joel's prophecy, and he goes on. And then there's a great result of Pentecost from 37 on. It was public praise and glory given to God. Another thing concerning the purpose for the gift of tongues, it was given to edify, listen, the believer, both the believer privately, who exercises the gift, and the believers who are present, providing one thing takes place. And we'll see this here. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, the scriptures say, "And he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men." You ought to underline that. When you speak in a tongue, who are you speaking to? Well, not to men, but to God. That's pretty significant. "For no one understands him." Now, we just got done reading Acts chapter 2 where they spoke in tongues and people understood them. That is the glossolalia of the earth. Parthians, Medes, Arabs, Egyptians, Cretans. But then right here in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, when someone speaks in a tongue in a public gathering, no one's going to understand them. Why? Tongues, Paul says in Romans 14 again, tongues of angels. There are tongues of angels, angel language. He goes on to say, "For no one understands him. However, in the spirit," look at capital or lowercase, excuse me, lowercase s, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Lowercase s, that is Paul's spirit, the spirit within Paul. "However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." Nobody understands him publicly, but boy, in the spirit, he's speaking deep things to God. That's awesome. There's a denominational error that we need to point out here. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Somebody will say, "You know what, there is no tongues. I don't care what he says. There's no more tongues anymore." Well, let me say this in all love. You have absolutely not one, a verse, not one verse to hang your hat on, not a one. And what's sad is that you make that statement, and what is so sad about it is the pain that makes you hold to that belief. You've been abused. You've been hurt somehow. You've been biased to think that. In 1 Corinthians 13, 8, it says, "Love never fails. But whether they are prophecies," that is speaking publicly, speaking forth the word of God, "they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away." People will say, "Aha, see, it's done." Well, so is knowledge and so is love. Or so is prophesying. Well, those things are still present. He goes on to say, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." Listen, "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." And what people will say is, "That's the Bible. We needed tongues, but now that we've got the Bible, we don't need it anymore." Well, wait a minute. You've got to cut out knowledge and prophecy. You can't do this. And listen, if you are a freshman student at a Bible college in Greek, Did you know there's not one Greek scholar in the history of humanity that will take 1 Corinthians 13 and say, yeah, that applies to the coming of the Bible? You can't do it. Denominational leaders know it, but they don't teach it because they're biased. It has not gone away. In fact, Paul is saying, let me explain it to you this way, 1 Corinthians 13:11. He goes on to the next verse, and I'm putting this in myself. Paul would maybe say, let me tell it to you like this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I understood like a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, right now, he says, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. A reference to the coming and the standing face to face with God Almighty in the day of eternity. I will know Him just as I am known. When that which is perfect has come is the coming of Jesus Christ to take us to Himself, not the Bible. That's when tongues will cease. We won't need it. We won't need prophecy when Jesus comes. We won't need knowledge. Why? We will know even as we are known. Somebody's asked, well, will I know my husband in heaven? Because I'm hoping I don't know him in heaven, but what am I going to know? Am I going to know my family, my friends who are born again in heaven? Yeah, I like what J. Vernon McGee says. Are you going to be any more dumb in heaven than you are now here? You know them now. You'll know them there. You'll know them real well in heaven. It'll be a perfect family. Perfect. Family. But we have to be careful because tongues are valid. Third thing we want you to look at, third point in this is that the use of the gift of tongues. Here's what we need to spend time in, and we have no time left. The use of the gift of tongues. It's initiated by the Holy Spirit Himself. And we are immediately confronted with this faith factor thing. Let God rule when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Will you go home tonight? Or when we are at the end of the service and we'll pray tonight, will you, in your heart, silently ask God, Lord, give me whatever gift you want me to have. Do you trust Him to pray that prayer? Let Him be God. Listen, concerning God initiating this work, first of all, tongues can be used of this world. We saw that, Acts chapter 2. Tongues can be of another world, 1 Corinthians 14. We've looked at that. But it's important to realize this. As it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, that He does not speak to men, but He speaks to God. And also in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, earthly language versus heavenly language, we need to realize, and I've been saying it tonight, that there are languages spoken in this operation of tongues, be it known or unknown manifestations of languages, heavenly or earthly. I was in a setting on a Wednesday night in Calvary Costa Mesa in the believers' meeting. Jim, were those Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights? Was it Wednesday? I didn't go to the Friday nights. Chuck Mateer's group. Yeah, Wednesday nights with Mateer. There was a fantastic, somebody uttered something to me, it came into my ears, we're all sitting there, and somebody speaks forth in a tongue, and I just thought, well, that's some angelic thing, because who can understand it? Well, you know what, come to find out, there was somebody from Germany sitting there that knew no English, and this person never knew them whatsoever, and it was a huge gathering. This person speaks out in German, the wonderful praises of God, and there's a person in the back, not being able to speak English, only German, understood everything the guy said. We didn't know that until the week later when Chuck explained it to us, what had happened. It was awesome. That's just like Acts chapter 2. And then there's times, listen, when people are in a meeting and you'll hear an utterance. And then you'll hear the interpretation. And you need to remember this. The interpretation, and we'll talk about this in other studies, though we'll bring it up tonight, the interpretation is not a translation. It is an interpretation. It is the gift of interpretation. That is a gift recorded in the Bible, given by the Holy Spirit. Check this out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14 concerning the use of tongues. This is really fun stuff here. 1 Corinthians 14. Boy, we'll go through this as fast as we can. Boy. Keep your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 14. Have your notebook ready. I should say that then. How's that? And I'm going to skip some stuff to get to this because it is very important. I don't want to miss it tonight. Not only does the gift of tongues originate or initiated by the Holy Spirit, it's always governed by Him. If you have the gift of tongues, you will not be walking down the aisle to go to your seat at Mimi's on a Sunday afternoon and all of a sudden get some goosebumps up your back. Oh my gosh. Here we go. And won't happen. I couldn't help it. The Spirit came on me. And it just happened. No, it doesn't. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophets. Now, I'm coming in with a serious punch now. This is serious. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It means the Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. It means that if you have a gift of the Holy Spirit, you have control of it. You can even disobey. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to exercise your gift, you can even disobey it. Some of you have the gift of evangelism. And the Holy Spirit says, tell that guy. And you go, not me, no way. And you're disobeying Him. And you know what? God is so good to you, you'll be miserable for weeks until you obey Him. And then you're just going to be sweating, you're going to be obedient, and you're going to speak it, and you can start it and stop it anytime you want.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are coming up to the end of the year, which means, quite obviously, the beginning of the next year is just around the corner. And in February, we're going to be having another Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And here's Pastor Jack to tell you more about it. Pastor Jack?
Thank you, Mike. I just am so excited about this conference. Here's the reason why. Last year, we hosted our first annual Southern California Prophecy Conference, and it was an overwhelming success. Not only because of so many people coming, but the caliber of speakers and the timing of it all was amazing. And what did the Lord do for us this time? Well, he hit the ball out of the park for us, because this year's upcoming Southern California Prophecy Conference is entitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. And those dates are February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The seating is limited to 3,000 people. And it is an over-the-top event. We've got a lineup of speakers that's just amazing. You'll hear more about that later on. But really, Mike, this is a save-the-date announcement for all of our listeners to mark it on their calendars. Trust me, you guys, you will not want to miss this. February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, right here in Southern California at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Please come. You will be blessed, guaranteed.
Okay, be sure and set those dates aside. That's February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. To find out more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or give us a call. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.